of seeing a child open the boxes for the first time is just, it's incredible.
There's squeals and screams, and they are so excited to see what's inside their box. Hey, my goodness!
Every shoebox gifts represents the love of God to them.
We are so excited. Many of the children receive the shoebox for the first time in their life.
We're here with Operation Christmas Child. The kids are so excited. We had the opportunity to hand out some of the boxes with so much joy, so much happiness. And it gives us an opportunity to present the gospel. We pray that these boxes will be used to bring a lot of happiness and joy, but more importantly, the gospel to each heart, to all these little children around the world.
What a great gift. I get a present. I get to know who Jesus is. But not only that, I get to be discipled in his ways.
Hundreds of thousands of volunteers work with Operation Christmas Child every year, preparing these boxes, praying for the boxes, that God will use them in a mighty way for his glory.
This little shoebox has the opportunity to change the world. Not only are they going to get a shoebox, they're going to get the love and the message of Jesus Christ.
Some go by helicopter, some go by ship, some go by camel, donkeys, canoes. We go at great lengths to take these boxes to children in the most remote parts of the world, and it's an incredible journey.
After these children open the box, they have the opportunity to go through the greatest journey, the 12-lesson discipleship program, where they get to learn more about Jesus Christ.
Right now, I'm right outside of Mazatlan, Mexico, about six-hour drive up in the mountains. This is an indigenous people group, people that never heard the gospel before. The kids and the families that accepted Christ, almost 100 altogether, have now started a church.
Hemos visto una diferencia preciosa, grande, ¿verdad? En el pueblo. Y ese pueblo va a ser el medio para llevar el evangelio a otro lugar. Que estas bendiciones que son de las cajitas sigan llegando hacia arriba y a la montaña.
This shoebox gives us an opportunity to continue to shine the bright light of the gospel in the darkest and remote places around the world.
We're seeing families come to know Jesus. Churches are sprouting up in these communities. These children are rising up to be disciples in their own country.
The gift box and the gospel of Jesus Christ bring hope to our children to bring the smiles back on their faces.
No greater need and no greater time than right now for us to go out and serve boldly. This is what these shoeboxes are all about, to go out and bring the hope of Jesus Christ around the world.
I'm just so amazed at what God does each and every year. This is an opportunity to impact the lives of millions of children, just like you've seen. But we need more boxes for next year. Every box is an opportunity for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you, and God bless each and every one.
The glory.
In God, when your pathway is lonely, he sees the veils, all the ways we explore. Never alone, all the lines of the garden. Have faith in God, have faith in God, have faith in God, he's on his throne. In God, he watches all his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Wait on.
He'll fail yet. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Though all else fail about you. Have faith in God. He provides for His own. He cannot fall. He rules His wings, nor on His throne. Have faith in God, He's on His throne. Have faith in God, He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail, He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Let's pray together this morning. Father, as we come to you, we do so anticipating, Lord, just to being in your presence, Lord, to hear from you. We just ask, Father, that as we gather around with Christian brothers and sisters, that we worship you. We do so realizing that the insignificance don't matter. Lord, the place where we meet doesn't matter. The way it's decorated doesn't matter. Whatever the case may be, Father, help us to truly realize the blessing is being able to be in your presence and to be there together. Today, we ask that you would help us to focus upon you and your movement. We ask, Lord, that today you would truly help us to just get the words you want for us. May the Spirit truly move in such a fashion that we're drawn closer to you. May the Spirit move in such a fashion that where there are those who may not know you, that today truly would be the day there would be rejoicing of those saints in heaven over the saving of that soul. Lord, give us clarity in your word. Help us, Father, to love one another as you have loved us, and that we might truly leave this place different than when we came in, changed and drawn closer to you. So, Father, bless our time. This is your time. Help us to hear you today. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning. Like I say, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day to have an opportunity to be out and about. We're blessed in so many ways just to be able to have those opportunities. I pray we don't take those for granted. If you're part of our viewing audience, say hello to Dr. John Cazito. I know we're having a few little technical difficulties with our stream and feed, but people are working on that right now other than me. I'm not the technological guru. I'm just the guy who doesn't know what's going on, thankful for people who do. But at any rate, hey, give somebody a wave. Like I say, I know that shaking hands, I just, quick poll. How many of you all, and I'm not saying that you're scared to death of COVID or anything like that, but, we, over the past more than a year and a half, we've been trained to kind of stay away from each other and that kind of thing. How many of you feel a little weird when you walk into a crowd? I mean, when all of a sudden things get a little bit tighter, you start going, And before, we would sit on top of each other. I told Tony, I'm curious what it'd be like in Cuba. If we went back there, we'd probably all freak out because we literally were sitting on top of each other. But it's just that's the way our mindset has gotten to be. So we understand if we're a little bit timid. I've said this before. I don't take offense when people are standing further away from me than they used to 2 years ago. That's okay. We're all God's people. Amen. And we're here to celebrate, and we're here to rejoice in Him. May we not live in a spirit of fear, but it's all right to be cautious. How's that sound? All right? You use a lot of hand gel. Do what you feel like you need to do. And with that being said, let's continue to worship as we're led today.
Thank you. You remain seated as we sing, There is a Redeemer. This is a praise song that you'll remember from the past. It'll be all familiar when we get started, but it's a lovely song, There is a Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
Got your Bible, we're going to be looking at the same passage we looked at last week. No, we're not just going to rehash this for old time's sake. No, it wasn't the thing that I thought you didn't get it. It's just that I didn't get quite finished talking about my main man last week. We're going to be looking at passages that are going to come out of the book of Numbers chapter 22. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. I said, As we started these passages last week, that this is one of the very interesting characters that often I have had questions by people about when it came down to this particular story that we're looking at. Now, we talked about last week of the fact that most of us have heard about Balaam and his talking donkey and those kind of things, and most preachers kind of hang out in that passage. But I want you to understand the character of this man named Balaam. Because most of the time the questions that I get are people who were somewhat confused about why God did and allowed what he did and what he allowed in the life of Balaam. Now, when we started and looked at these passages, the thing that brings us to the culmination of what's taking place is that Balak the king, and I'll just give it to you in short, he was the king of Moab, and what was going on was he had been watching about, you know, what was taking place with nations that opposed Israel. Now remember, Israel, that's God's chosen people. Those are God's chosen, okay? God says, remember, we talked about it last week. Those who bless Israel, I will bless. Those who curse Israel, I will curse. So Balak, the king, wants to get a heavyweight prophet to come in and curse Israel. Now, there's a bunch of things wrong with that out of the gate, right? It's like nobody wants to do toe-to-toe with God. These are God's people. And remember, Balaam is supposed to be a prophet. Everything has worked out really well with him being a prophet as it's gone by. So the king sends his men to Balaam with a cash prize, of course. And he says, I want you to come and I want you to curse the people of Israel. And Balaam's like, I don't think I want that job. I don't think I'll touch that one. Sounds real spiritual at that point, doesn't it? Then what happens is, you know, so they return. King Balak says, look, increase the pot there a little bit. Take more money. Go to him again. Check with him again. I really need this done. So they go back. Well, this time when they show up, Balaam looks really, really spiritual. You know what? There's a lot of people who look spiritual, don't they? There's a lot of people who do the spiritual things that aren't. Now, see, what happened was, and this is what I really want you to get, because this is going to alleviate a lot of questions. People would often sit back and say, well, I don't understand why Balaam had to go through what he went through, because he went to God and he asked God what he should do. Now, we're going to cover those scriptures in just a minute, but here's what you need to understand. So focus on me for just a minute, because at this particular point, you need to hear what I'm saying. God understands the heart. He knew where his heart was. Now, you can fool everybody with actions and activities, but what does the heart say? Now, I want to get you to look over with me for just a second at Numbers chapter 22, verse 18. It says, then Balaam answered and said to the servants. Now, this is when the servants have come back the second time. They have brought a pile of money to offer to Balaam to come back and curse Israel. It says, then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or to do more. Now, halt for just a minute, because that sounds real spiritual, don't it? That sounds like he's doing the right thing. Oh, you know what? I can't do more or less than what God... And by the way, that is true and correct, and that's right. But look at verse 19. It says, now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. He's already had this conversation with God, remember? He's already... talk to God about it when the guys came down first and said, will you do this? Now he's sitting there and his eyes are about this big. He is seeing the treasure. He's like, wow, I've never seen that much money before in my life. And that can be mine? Oh, but then he starts playing, you know, the left against the right. Then he starts playing, what is it they call it, the both ends against the middle? He said, maybe there's a way that I can pull this off, that this can be mine, and I can still follow what it is that God has to say. Yeah, we do that a lot, don't we? Just maybe. Guys, don't leave yet. Don't take that treasure back yet. Y'all spend the night. There's a Hilton right down the street. Y'all check in. It'll be fine. Just don't leave with that cash yet. Let me seek God. Remember last week what we talked about? It was kind of like the preacher who said, well, you know what? He said, I've had this offer at this new church. The pay's double. Everything's good. And his wife said, well, honey, don't you think we need to pray about that? And he told her, he said, well, you keep packing and I'll go pray about it. Same similar sort of deal. Already had decided in his heart what he wanted to do. Now, a lot of you all would sit back and say, well, you know what? Reading that, you know, you might say, I haven't been a Bible scholar all my life. How are you getting this out of here? Where are you drawing the conclusion that that's what's going on with Balaam? Where are you getting that the man's greedy? It looks to me like he's trying to follow the Lord. Well, let me tell you, and by the way, if you got it right there, get your pen out, because I want you to write a scripture beside verse 18 and 19. Okay, just write this verse down so that when you're reading this next time, you will turn back to this particular New Testament passage and you'll glean from it. It will be a reminder as to what the heart of Balaam was. And that passage that I want you to, well, you don't have to turn there, but jot this down. 2 Peter 2, 15 and 16. 2 Peter 2, 15 and 16. Now, I'm going to read that for you, but you'll have that note in your Bible so that it'll remind you the next time that you come across this passage to go remember why Balaam was going down a bad road. Okay, let me give that to you. 2 Peter 2, 15 and 16 says this. Now, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. See, that's not the gospel according to Roy. That's not the gospel according to some commentator. This is Peter. This was a dude who walked and talked with Jesus. So if you want to know what the intent of Balaam's heart was, when you're sitting there thinking, well, this guy, boy, I'll tell you one thing, he had a rough way to go. The Lord just wasn't fair to him. Look, right here, this was his heart. It says, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the ways of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Verse 16 says, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Now do you think Balaam's was this innocent, pure-hearted guy who just had a hard time and that the Lord wasn't fair to him? Remember what I said a few minutes ago? And I want you to keep in mind this. God knows the heart. Did you hear me? Good, because I want you to say it with me. This is what I want you to say. I want you to say, God knows the heart. All right, on three. One, two, three. God knows the heart. So the next time that you get in a circumstance or a situation or a condition and you know what you're supposed to do, see, we have this way that we try to manipulate and orchestrate things and people to benefit us. Now, Balaam did that. Now, see, I'm going to make him look even worse here in a minute. So for some of you all who thought, well, this cat just, you know, God just wasn't fair to him. Now, I hope your mind is beginning to understand the facts behind the theology of what was taking place and what was going on. So now you understand why I had you write those passages in 2 Peter there. So you sit back and go, okay, what does this have to do with it? You go back over and it'll help you remember what his heart was as he went forward. Now, back in Numbers 22, God let him go. Now, remember, we talked about the fact that there's God's perfect will and God's permissive will. I have come to understand that the older I've gotten, that I think there are more people who function within God's permissive will than do his perfect will. God allows us to do things, even when it's not exactly what he wanted us to do. That's called his permissive will. Now, he'll still get you around to where you should be. He will still get you around to his way of thinking. He will still come across what needs to be come across so that he can accomplish his plan and he can accomplish his purpose. Amen? Some of you understand that. Some of y'all have had to take the long way around, haven't you? So, yeah, if you stop and think about it, you know, the journey wasn't really that far when Israel left Egypt to get to the promised land, but they took a detour, didn't they? First of all, God didn't send them the direct route. Then they got there and they got silly when they got to the fringe of the promised land. Then they had to take a 40-year detour. 40 years. How many of y'all understand them detours? And you sit back and said, oh, I should have gone the other way. Oh, I should have listened to the Lord. Oh, I should have done it his way. And you sit there going, yeah, yeah, you should have. And then here's what's ironic. You ready for this? We'll do it again and again and again. Y'all, we've been here before. We know what we're supposed to do. And yet we allow that sense of Balaam to come across us. When I say that sense of Balaam, that, ooh, I want this. So remember, that treasure looked so good. It was a bunch. And remember, he knows he's not supposed to go against Israel. And yet, he knows in this hand what he's supposed to do, and that God is not going to bless him going to curse Israel. And then in this hand, he sees the money, and he can't let go of neither one of them. So he's trying to find a way to mix the two. How can I do this? Let me tell you something. He was deceiving and mischievous. And I'm going to point that out to you in just a second. Just bear with me. So I'm all mixed up, so I'll just forget them. What happens is, as things progress, you got to remember what he was hired to do. He was hired to come down and to curse Israel. He goes with the guys. We know the situation of the donkey. You know, the donkey's riding down there, and the donkey's just walking along, minding his own business, and the donkey sees the big angel. Talked about him last week. Sees the big angel, and he's like, I'm going the other way. Well, Balaam gets mad, gets off the donkey, whips him, gets back on him, starts going down a little further. Then they got to go between this this stretch, and the donkey it sees the angel again, and he moves over real close to the rock wall to get past him, smashes Balaam's foot up against the rock wall. How many of y'all has God smashed your foot up against a brick wall a time or two? Well, Balaam gets mad. He still doesn't get the picture. Gets off and whips this donkey. Gets back on the donkey, and the donkey goes, okay, path is clear. So he's going on down again, and then he sees this big angel again, and the donkey says, nope, I ain't doing this. You can whip me with a stick. You can do whatever, but I ain't approaching that. Says the donkey sits down. Balaam jumps off, and he's screaming at this donkey. We do that, don't we? Like that donkey should be able to talk back. Surprise, this one did. What you beating me for? And surprising, even more surprising, is that Balaam answers him. Donkey says, all these years you've been riding, have I ever done anything like this to you? No, you haven't. Rah, 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 rah. Anyway, they're having a conversation. Then the blinders come off. Then Balaam sees this angel. That, I mean, I guarantee you that it had to have been the biggest, baddest warrior around. Now Balaam gets to see what the donkey saw. And when he does, you know what he does? He does what probably you and I would have done if our heart didn't stop immediately. What he did was he got down on his face in worship. Now, here's another little tidbit of interest that I want to give to you today concerning the scripture. There's a lot of debate, and people say, well, okay, was this an angel sent of God? You know, a lot of scholars believe, and I do as well, that this angel was Jesus himself. Okay? Now y'all are sitting there going, well, wait a minute, preacher, this is the Old Testament. Yeah, this is the pre-incarnate Jesus that appeared. Now, what would make me think that? Remember, when we study the Bible, you got to put it all together. You got to let it all come together. It's like having the ingredients to bake a cake on the counter. The flour don't taste good without the milk, eggs, and sugar and all that. You got to mix it all up to bake a cake. So when you bake all this together, what you're going to find is that Balaam bowed down to worship and was allowed to. That's very significant. You know why? Go look throughout the Old Testament at the appearance of angels, when angels appeared before people, when somebody, an angel appeared to him and somebody were to bow down, the angel was like, no, no, you get up. You know why? Because angels weren't supposed to be worshipped. That God was supposed to be worshipped. Angels would forbid somebody to bow down in their presence to be worshipped. However, this was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ who appeared. Now, and as a matter of fact, let me just carry you down to, I believe it's verse 31. Verse 31 says, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come to you to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me. By the way, if you look in your Bible, that's a capital M for me too, isn't it? All right? That's that pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus said, why are you smacking your donkey around? He says, now get it. Verse 33. No, he's telling this to Balaam. He says, the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now and let her live. Ooh. You know what? At this particular point, the angel says the donkey is smarter than you. Balaam was outsmarted by a jackass. And listen, I'm not making this up. This is better than any TV drama that you've ever watched, isn't it? The saga continues. Balaam is still on his way, and he didn't learn his lesson. Even with this, he still did not learn his lesson. He said, look, man, the donkey's smarter than you. If it wouldn't have been for your donkey, you'd be dead now. That's what those two verses say. Verse 34, and Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Now, you got to remember that the Lord knows the heart. Balaam's actions may have changed, but his heart did not, even at this point. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a second. And God knew that. He says, Now, yeah, that sounds good. It sounds spiritual. Look, man, I'll turn back. See, too many times what we do is we get focused on something. We get it in the, I call it the reticle of life. You get it in the crosshairs and you're looking at it and you don't see anything outside of you. Have you ever had tunnel vision? I'm talking about where all you're seeing is this, and you didn't know what was going on in the periphery. That's a fancy word, isn't it? Periphery. All you could see was this. You didn't see what was going on. And matter of fact, it was right there in front of you. Remember, we talked about periphery last week when we talked about Peter getting out of the boat. The disciples were too busy being focused on the storm. That Jesus was walking in the periphery. And finally, Peter saw him. Remember, one of the passages in the New Testament says that Jesus intending to pass them by. I think that Jesus is walking in the circumstances of our lives in the periphery, waiting for us to see him. And Peter, is that you, Lord? Yeah, it's me. Can I come where you are? Look safer over there. You don't seem to be freaking out. Yeah, come on, Peter. Peter jumps out of the boat in a big storm, scary storm, freaky storm, makes his way over to Jesus. Then all of a sudden he starts looking at the storm again and he starts to sink. What is the Lord doing in the periphery of your mess? Can I call it that? All of us have a mess, don't we? Of some shape, form, or fashion. I've said it before. We like to try to hide our mess sometimes. You know, come on, when somebody's coming by the house and they called and they're in the neighborhood, remember? They're coming in 5 minutes. You start stuffing stuff in closets, hiding things in locations. You'll put stuff in the microwave and the stove and the oven just to get it out of sight till they show up. You're hiding it. Oh, but hold on a minute. But remember, God knows the... You see, the thing with Balaam was, even at that point, his heart didn't change. He got to the point where He's got that treasure on his mind. Yeah, so in Numbers 23, for the sake of time, I'm not going to have you turn there, but in Numbers 23, the prophet for hire, Balaam, finally meets up with the king, and what he does is he gives him the first two of four prophecies that he's going to make. Now, Balak is offering a reward. Remember, why is he offering the reward? The reward is being offered to curse Israel. Does Balaam curse Israel? No. In fact, what happens is he actually blesses Israel twice. That's what happens. You see, here's another thing you need to understand. That God is going to accomplish his will with or without your obedience. God's will is going to happen and it is going to take place. And he will even use the disobedient to bring about his will. Some of us don't like that, do we? So he blesses Israel twice. The first blessing is a prophecy that Israel will multiply. If you're jotting this stuff down, that's Numbers 23, verses 7 through 10. He's saying that Israel is going to be multiplied. And in the second, he proclaims that with God on their side, that Israel is indestructible and that God will not change his promises. That's out of Numbers 23, verses 18 through 24. So now all of a sudden, Balak, the king, feels like he's getting shafted. This is not what I called you here to do. I called you here to curse those people. And instead, what have you done? You have turned around and blessed them. Now let's think about this for a minute. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, remember? Israel. Israel had some sin going on in their own camp. What had happened was some of the men had brought prostitutes of the pagan deity Baal into the camp. And Balaam, here's what a lot of people don't understand. Balaam not only knew about this, it is believed that he enticed it. This is the same guy that's the prophet. He knew about it. A lot of people think he not only knew about it, but he instigated it. And why? See, that could be why Balaam thought and presumed that God was going to condemn Israel and that he would simply turn and collect his offering from Balak. But is that not manipulation? He's sitting there thinking, well, I'm just going to go because there's no way God can bless them. I'll just say the words. And there's no way that God can bless them. And the reason why there's no way is because that, you know, they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. So God's not going to condone that. So then what's going to happen is it's going to look like I cursed them. And I'll just collect this big bounty and go on back home. And all is right with it. Is that not manipulation? That's exactly what Balaam was going to do. And this was after his encounter on the road with Jesus, the angel. He didn't learn his lesson, did he? Now, what did I say a minute ago? This is better than a TV drama, isn't it? It's got a storyline. It's got a plot. See, but what Balaam didn't understand was this. What Balaam didn't understand was that God had already dealt with Israel's sin and had already forgiven their sin. He wasn't going to let anyone bring accusation against his people after he had already dealt with them. Now, don't miss this. Please don't miss this. How many times, like Balaam against Israel, does Satan bring accusation against you and I? Just like Israel, God has dealt with our sins when he took them to the cross on Calvary. Your sin is judged in Christ on the cross when you placed your faith in him. The sin of Christ, followers, that's you and me, falls simply between us and God. There is no third party access. So let me say something in a way that it's understandable in 2021. The sin in your heart is between you and God, and it's none your business when it comes to somebody else. You got me? And let me tell you something else that this word tells me. When God has dealt with it, no man has a right to hold it against you. Now we need to start believing that, and we need to start living it. In our lives, with the people that we are around. Listen, none of us are perfect. The Bible tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? Let me tell you what else my Bible tells me. My Bible also tells me this, that if we're going to use a standard of judgment against people, God says if it's good, if the standard you're using is good enough for you to use against somebody else, then I'll just use that same standard against you. Last time I checked, I need all the help I can get. Oh, I'm the easy judge. In fact, I'm not a good judge. And I'm thankful for that. You know, I've known people in my life that have messed up bad. I still love them. You know, I've been talked about for that. I've been walked away from for that. People say, how can you associate with that kind of person? What, a born-again believer who's been forgiven of a tragic sin? How can I? It's because they're my brothers and sisters. That's how. Listen, we all gonna be living in the same house. When my sister would mess up, she wasn't put out of the house. Her bedroom was still right next door to mine. I still saw her. We still sat at the table together and had meals. Oh, and guess what? When I messed up, she was still my sister. Her place at the table was still beside mine. Her bedroom was still beside mine because we're part of the same family. Where do we get off judging people in the manner in which we do? While we go around thinking we're self-righteous and pious like Balaam. Oh, here, you need to check something today. You know why? Because God knows the heart. He knows the heart. Where's your heart? Balaam had a lot of errors going on in his life. It was one of those situations where he was compromising. He was ready to compromise his own morality in order to appease a pagan king. There's another lesson that we learn. And the New Testament teaches about this Old Testament character as well, is that the hired help couldn't curse Israel for Balak. So he tried that backdoor politics. See, what he did was he tried to teach the Moabites to seduce Israel instead. Now, what he did was he showed Israel's enemies. He showed Israel's enemies their unguarded backdoor. Now, I'm going to say something here in a minute that a lot of y'all may not like, but every one of you is going to agree with it. See, it happened, and by the way, since you're jotting stuff down, jot down Numbers 25, verse 9. Because what happened was the way the enemy of Israel learned about their weaknesses was through the back door. And it happens in Numbers 25 that because Israel fell into this trap, 24,000 Israelites died. And who's the one who showed them the back door? Balaam. Now, I say that to say this. There are people in your life, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've experienced it, that they are friends of yours, that you love them dearly, and they have taken something that you have shared with them, something that maybe you have mourned over, and they have provided that to your enemy to use as a backdoor against you. How many of y'all have ever experienced that? Let me tell you something. God has a distaste in his mouth for those who will manipulate and orchestrate the demise of others, because God knows the heart, but he also knows the actions. Why has this world become a place where we try to destroy each other? That's what it's become. It's become worse. Oh, and listen. Not only is the world trying to destroy each other, God's people are trying to destroy each other. It's crazy.
crept into the church, and Satan is laughing his way through life, going, look, these are God's people. Look, they're not acting like God's people. Look at how they're cutting each other now. Look at how they're trying to destroy each other. Listen, we're supposed to be coming to each other's aid through these situations. Now, understand my heart, that doesn't mean that we agree with sin. But let me tell you this. I'm going to stand with my arm around my sinful brother when he has repented to the Lord, and I'm going to protect him because the Bible tells me that's what I'm supposed to do. But let me tell you what else. I expect him to be there with his arm around my shoulder when I mess up, because I will. And what do we do? We kick people to the curb. What would our church be like if it was filled up with a bunch of sinners that everybody knew about? Lord have mercy, that harlot goes to your church. No, that past harlot might go to our church. Lord have mercy, that guy did 20 years for drug dealing. Yeah, he paid his sentence. There was a crime for the time. He's repentant. Loves the Lord. Now, by the way, there's a difference between repentance and non-repentance, right? But we're still supposed to love the sinner. And folks, it's time for God's people to be an example of Christ when it comes down to that. And we're not. We're a horrible, horrible representation. I'm talking about the church. We're a horrible representation of what love and forgiveness should be in our society in 2021. We have to look around us. What are we doing? Balaam. Does Balaam sound like a prophet you'd like to have around now? Now that you've realized that he had a love for money? Now that you realize that his donkey was smarter than him? Now that you realize that he wanted the treasure so much that he was even given trade secrets of Israel to their enemy so he could take them down? Now, does he sound like a spiritual prophet to you? Does this story make more sense now than it ever has? I sure hope so. See, here's something we need to understand. We need to understand that condemnation and discipline are not the same thing. The Lord will discipline, but he won't condemn his children. When you're his children, you are not condemned. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. But let me tell you one thing. He will paddle your blessed assurance. Won't he? Because those whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He chastens. When you mess up, you don't get kicked out of the family. If you do, your family didn't do it right. Did I ever mess up growing up? We won't get into that. There's not enough time. But I can tell you this. My mother and father never stopped loving me. Ever. And let me tell you something. At time, and I've mentioned this before. When I messed up and I disappointed them, I would rather them have taken me out behind that dumpster and wore me out, because I would have felt better about myself. But you know what? It was worse for me. It was worse that I disappointed them because I loved them. Y'all know what I'm saying? That hurt worse than anything. That was not something that could be undone, that disappointment. But here's the cool part. They didn't quit loving me. They didn't stop reassuring me of that love. They didn't stop providing for me. There were other people who did, but they never have. We're God's family. We're supposed to be here for one another. Why do I say that? Because Satan still works today just like he did back in the days of Balaam. Just like these characters that we have discovered in God's Word. He couldn't directly curse God's people, so he finds another approach. He looks for the back door that we've left open, just like Israel. His wedge in the church, his wedge in your life, his wedge in your family, his wedge in your thought process. Today in
cases, it's more than often things like idolatry, sexual immorality, selfishness, things that get in the way, things that make us vindictive. So what are the lessons from Balaam? I'm going to ask our musicians to take their place. We're going to have our invitation in just a moment. But you see, the prophet who rode the talking donkey wasn't so bad when we first met him. See, you might have even liked him in the beginning, but it didn't take long for him to show his true colors. His heart was not right with God. His way was greed. His error was compromise, and his doctrine was betrayal and corruption. These are the lessons of Balaam, and they're still infiltrating churches and individuals thousands of years later. I've often said this: you better not beat the donkey that decides to talk to you, because it may be God that's getting your attention. You got any talking donkeys in your life? I said before, the part that was bizarre for me was the fact that Balaam was so blinded that it didn't even surprise him that his donkey was talking to him. Hey, listen, where are you with the Lord? Are you walking with him, talking with him? Is he your Savior? That is the most important question. Have you made it right with the Lord? What do you mean, have you made it right? Have you trusted him? Lord, forgive me my sins. Save my soul. Listen, if you hadn't, just bow your head right now where you are and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. Save my soul. Hey, listen, if you did that and you meant it, he just did. Now it's to walk with him, to be his disciple. And for some of us today, we have been shown ourselves through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, and we didn't like what we saw. The Holy Spirit said, this is you. You are Balaam. You are this guy. You are manipulating. You are, listen, I know your heart. The preacher don't know your heart, God does. Your neighbors don't know your heart, but God does. And he's dealing with it right now. What is it that you need to make right with him today to be back in the will of the Father? Listen, I'm just going to ask you right now just to say, Lord, I know I've messed up. And like the prodigal son, I'm coming home. Forgive me, Father. I repent. Use me for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Hey, if you did that, then I pray right now that the weight of the world has come off of your shoulders. Because he provides the peace that passes all understanding. That's the cool part. How many of y'all have ever run from God before? How many of you realize that is a futile desire? How many of you understand the peace that passes all understanding when you surrender to the Father? That's the place you want to be. In his will. In his perfect will. In his hand. Listen, if you need me, I'm going to be here for our time of invitation. You do business with God. Wherever you are, if you're viewing online, you do business with God right now where you are. If you need us, we're here. If you need this altar, is here. As we stand during our time of invitation, you respond to the Father's call in your heart. Thank you.
Amen. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down front. You could be seated. We'll take the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him, and then we will give you a few words and get you on out of here. But I'll tell you one thing. I am so grateful that God is a loving, forgiving God who still desires to use people to bring about His will and His way. Amen. What a blessing. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for all the provision that you provide in our lives. Lord, our bank accounts don't belong to us. They're yours. Everything that we have, the bounty that we are, is because of you. Help us, Father, to truly be faithful, to return back to you the tithe that you require of us, that you might bless us in a way that we've never been blessed before. Lord, help us to be wise in and be good stewards of your offering, to apply it for your honor and glory, that souls may be saved and lives may be touched. So, Lord, right now, this time is yours. This is worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold. Purify your fire, my heart's one desire.
Hey, just want to give you a couple quick things before we get out of here today. Just as reminders, our Operation Christmas Child, we call it in-gathering. That's just the nice way of saying that's when you bring your boxes in here. And I always ask, hey, pray for that family as you prepare the box, as you're on your way to get what you're going to put in it. Pray for that child. Listen, that might be the difference between heaven and hell for a child, that you pray for them. Someday, I promise you, you'll meet the child you were praying for. Even if it's not on this side of glory, you'll meet them on the other side of glory. That little child will say, hey, look, I'm here today because you were faithful to pack a shoebox. Our in-gathering, fancy way of saying bring it in, put it at the altar, say a prayer for it, is the 7th and 14th of November. So we do it two Sundays because we're Baptist and we attend in shifts. So bring it on the 7th. Or the 14th. Bring however many that you want. We'll take all you can get. We're also a collection center for this year. Miss Beverly's got needs some help with that. Don't y'all slack off on us. We're still breathing, so God's not done with us yet. She's got some things that you can do to help be a part of that. I think it's a drive-through when all the other churches will be bringing their stuff actually here to our church. Or am I saying that right? Okay. And then we'll move it to the next location to get it done. She's got dates and times posted for that. So there's a sign-up sheet back here in the narthex. Please be a part of that. Listen, don't just sit down and give up. I know it's tough getting started after coming out of the pandemic, but let's not stop. The Lord hadn't stopped blessing us, and he hadn't stopped using us. So we need to be about his business. And, we look so forward to that. This week, birthdays, if you get a chance, send a card, give a call, a hug, a text, whatever it may be. Chase and Chad Harold, Sunday, today. I guess today's their birthday, isn't it? Today. Donnie Chilton's is tomorrow. Jacob Twitty's is on Tuesday. And Wynn Sawyer's is on Wednesday. We don't have any listed anniversaries for this week. So, again, if you can think about that, celebrate with those that are going to be celebrating themselves this week. Now, tonight, bring that up here. Why I mention this. Tonight, don't forget, Awana is 5:30 to 6. We have Trunk or Treat that's going to start at 6 o'clock. Okay? Now, what that means is, we're not having the adult Bible study, but that means we need your trunk with treats in it. So bring it here by 5:30 so that we can have a blessing for our kids. Don't just go and sit home. It won't take that long. We'd love to have you come do that and be a part of Trunk or Treat that's going to start here at 6 o'clock this evening. Okay? If you have any questions, let me know before we get out of here. What do we got? Oh, the blood drive. You want to mention it? You want me to? Okay, I'll mention it. Give blood. All right, roll your sleeve up, come on down. We have a blood drive coming up on the 8th, November the 8th, which is on a Monday, from 2:30 to 7 o'clock p.m. This is information. I think you got a little QR code that could be scanned and all kinds of information that you can get on it.
I currently need 20 more donors. They've upped our count again. So instead of 52 donors, I now need 60. So I need 20 more donors. And I've had a couple people make eye contact, which makes me think they're volunteering. But if you want to come volunteer, I need talkers. I need people who are willing to talk to people.
And I'll tell you one thing. If you make eye contact, you're doomed because Katie will not let you go. But be sure to sign up for that. If you have any questions, you can see Katie. This is Katie. Does a fantastic job coordinating the blood drives. Is there anything I have forgotten or just completely overlooked? All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we look forward to seeing you at Trunk or Treat tonight. By the way, I have it by good authority. Stuart Dominion will be here tonight, so be sure to come and join us. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in your house. And Lord, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that teaches us, the Lord that guides us, that convicts us. And Lord, right now, I just pray that as we see ourselves as you do, when we see things that aren't pleasing to you, give us the courage to bring about those changes, which only by the grace of you and the Holy Spirit's guidance can that be done. Help us, Father, to be what you want us and need us to be in a lost and dying world. Help us, Father, to reach across the aisles, to reach for the lost, Lord, to reach for the wayward, not because we're perfect, but because we're forgiven. Lord, give us a great day. Bring us back again tonight to be a blessing to somebody as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. I love you. We'll see y'all later.